after brutally Malcolm.
You are a bull in a china shop.
Hello.
Hila friends.
How are we doing today?
Hope y'all are good.
Yeah, nice, cool. I mean, I don't know how else to start episodes, so there you go.
Yeah, hope you had a good week. Currently taking my shoes off.
Yeah, Malcolm's here, so, you know, the typical warning. If you hear any noises, it's probably the dog.
Probs.
Probably. Oh, there he goes.
Oh, yes. He want loving right now.
He's being ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay. So, we're just going to jump right in.
Perfect.
Don't really. Oh, I do want to say, you guys should give us ratings and leave reviews and all that fun stuff.
Mm-hmm. Please.
You can do that at Apple Podcasts. I know you can rate on Spotify. I don't know if you can leave reviews, though.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't use Spotify. So you
no,
know.
I don't.
Well, I know you can rate off Spotify because I have rated us on Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
5 stars, bitches.
5 stars.
I'll take a 4. If you like us, let us know. If you don't like us, also let us know. But yeah, we're going to jump right into this case. And it's horrible is what it is. Very, very... Big yikes.
Ooh.
big yikes for
y'all
this one.
Y'all are in for
it is rough. Elena is aware of the case that we're doing because I wanted to prep her because it's a bad one.
Yeah.
Both victim and perp are children.
Yep.
It's a Katie case.
it's a Katie case.
It's a Katie case, too. So if that's not your thing, we'll see you in the next one.
It's
bad.
Disclaimer, we smoke weed on the podcast.
Oh, we do. Yeah. We'll give another disclaimer before we do that. Right now we're just chilling. Right now we're just talking about
for
the
now,
case.
It's just a vibe.
But then later it'll be a different kind of vibe.
It'll be an elevated vibe.
Capital V vibe.
Yeah. Capital V vibras.
But yeah, so we'll do all that. But before we even enter this episode, I'm going to give you some trigger warnings and some themes we're going to be talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Trigger warnings for child abuse, sexual abuse, incest, psychopathy, and like messed up psychology and mental health shit. And it is just all around bad. So there you go.
There it is.
That's
There's
what
your
we're,
fucking warning.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
So today we are going to be talking about Paris Bennett. If you know this name, you know the case. If you don't, you are about to.
Today is not your lucky day.
Today is not, no, it's horrible. And
yeah.
I didn't have to do anything. Mm. I chose to research it, and now y'all are going to have to listen.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I was telling Katie that sometimes I want to cover cases, but it's better if she handles the research. Because it's one thing to talk about it, but it's another thing to dedicate, like, 6+ hours of research to something, so hats off to Katie. Hats off to Katie this week.
I did it, so you don't have to.
Yeah.
There, a quick little side note. This case, we'll find out at the end as why this is the way it is. The mom in this case gets a lot of slander and hate. There will be none of that here. Nothing but respect for mom, which I'll tell you what her name is and everything. So only... the perpetrator is we're gonna be talking shit about him, but that's it. Mm-hmm. And I will be tolerating no slander of Miss Ma'am, because that's just not what we're doing here today. We're gonna be talking strictly about Paris Lee Bennett was Malcolm just moved the table. Paris Lee Bennett was born on October 10th, 1993. He's a Libra.
Mm-hmm.
I did have to look that up because I thought it was a Scorpio for a second, and I was like, oh,
no, that would just make this case even worse.
A little bit more closer to home, if you will.
Oh. Anyway.
But yeah, so Mr. Bennett over here is a Libra. Not that it really matters.
We are in Scorpio season now, unfortunately, but...
Yeah, if you like astrology, there you go.
Yeah.
So he was born in Georgia, but he was raised in Texas, and at the time of the crime, we are in Abilene, Texas. I believe that is how you pronounce it. Fun fact about Abilene, they have the
Guinness Book of World Records.
I said it. The Guinness Book of World Records for the most churches per capita, which I thought was a little fun fact. As of the time, I believe it was like 2017. That is, there you go. Nice job, Emily.
A lot of Jesus.
Lots of Jesus there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he was born to his mom, Charity Lee, and he was raised solely by her. His father was not really around. He came in and out a little bit, and he did have some pretty severe mental health issues. I don't think that plays a huge part into Paris himself, but it is out there that he did have paranoid schizophrenia. I think that is what it's still called as of right now in the DSM. Paranoid schizophrenia? I don't know.
Doesn't DSM matter. Changes a lot, so if it's not, we're sorry.
Yeah. He's not really in the story anyway, so yeah. There we go. And then Paris did have two younger siblings, Ella and Phoenix. At the time of this crime and when this all took place, it was just Paris and Ella. So first we're going to talk about Charity for a second. I said, God bless her, and I mean it.
Mm.
She had a rough childhood, a mm-hmm. really rough go of it. Long story short, her father was murdered when she was six, and her mother was arrested and charged with hiring a hitman. She was later acquitted of this crime. I believe that Charity still thinks her mother had a hand in it.
Mm-hmm.
Grandma Bennett, I don't remember what her name, I think her name is Kayla, something like that. But Grandma Bennett is a whole episode in and of herself, so I'm not going into that right now. If you guys ever want me to, or if you ever want me to do a deep dive on this, I can, but she's a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
Charity had a rough go,
yeah.
And she suffered for a very long time and was a pretty heavy drug user. I believe at around 17, she was like fully addicted to heroin and some pretty nasty stuff, and all of that was happening until Paris came along when she was 18. Paris is what inspired her to get and stay clean. At the time she found out she was pregnant, she was trying to get clean and she was like, fuck this. Life sucks.
Yeah.
If I'm still struggling in a month, I'm going to overdose. And then she found out she was pregnant. So Paris quite literally saved her life.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing mattered anymore except for him.
Mm-hmm.
Charity is a mom.
Yeah.
She is a mama. Look at her. This is her and Ella.
Oh.
I'll be posting the pictures. We'll get into it in a second, but yeah. I love this little girl. Yeah, so she dedicated, so long story short, I used some of her memoir, which I'll get into in a second, and a documentary I watched and like some news sources and everything, but the memoir she wrote, she dedicated it to, I'm going to just read the direct quote, Paris Lee for showing me what love is, Ella Lee for showing me how love acts, and Phoenix Lee for showing me love really does conquer all. And I just believe that was beautiful. And it really shows you what Paris meant for her at the time. He showed her what love is, mm-hmm. which is heartbreaking. So yeah, 8 years after Paris was born, Miss Ella came along. This is Ella. I'm showing Elena. Look at this girl. I will be posting all the pictures I'm showing Elena because
they're so cute.
They're so cute. So Ella, or Ella Bella to her mom.
Mm.
Ella was born on April 12th, 2002. Sweet girl would be turning 21 in April. This next April, she'd be turning 21. That's crazy to think about. I always like to add like the current ages of mm-hmm. the victims just because that's just wild to think about.
Mm-hmm.
She'd be our age. But yeah, she was born April 12th. She loved her big brother. She adored him. I have a lot of quotes from Charity in particular because why not? And she said that Paris initially was not happy when Charity was pregnant with Ella, but the day that Ella was born, he fell in love. He was an only child for 8 years. I'm the youngest, so I don't really know what that feels like, but kids, that's a hard adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's anything bad when he wasn't happy she was pregnant, because I feel like a lot of kids would be, especially if they liked being an only child.
I used to bully my baby sister when she was born.
I have two older sisters. The younger older sister said that when my older brother was born, she hated him. She wanted him back.
Mm-hmm.
She was like trying to put him back. Like I don't think that means
that's
anything.
A normal reaction.
Yeah. But he did love and care for his sister, and Ella loved him just as much, if not more. And Paris would pick out her clothes every day, and Ella called him her fashion consultant. They had a really sweet relationship before everything happened. But in the book, hold on. The book, let me just, because I've mentioned it now a couple times, I'll tell you what it's called. It is called How Now, Butterfly. It is written by Charity and then another author. They like co-wrote it together. And it's basically just her journal entries and her journey through everything. And then the movie I watched is called The Family I Had. The Family I Had had a bunch of like video footage, like home video footage and pictures. And it was amazing. I definitely recommend watching it. But I got to see a lot of like who Ella was and who Paris and Ella were together. And it's very, very heavy, but I always like putting myself in the world, because that it matters. But yeah, so I'm going to read a few things from Charity's book about Ella. She's obviously the best person to tell us who Ella was because
she was her mom.
Yeah, that who better than the woman who knew her best. Mm-hmm. So these are just a bunch of quotes I liked and highlighted, and they're in really no particular order. So Charity said that she gave me such joy. She was my girl, my diva, my extrovert who loved everybody. She was a slow eater, and she would rather talk than eat, which reminds me of my niece. This one's my favorite. This is a longer one. Quote, I miss her fat legs. I love babies. They're that's so my cute. Own. That's my own separate thing. I just, the chunky legs. Delirious. Best part. I miss the way she said Charity. I miss listening to her sing, and I miss dancing with her. I miss her princess Barbie teeth. I miss sleeping next to her in bed, even the times she woke me up with her tossing and sleep talking. I miss how she threw her leg over my back and her arm around my neck and said, oh, mama, I love you so much. I miss her yo mama battles with her brother and me. I miss her quirky fashion statements and her asking me if she looked slexy. The last thing that Ella painted at school was a butterfly, which inspired Charity to start asking how now butterfly, inspired by how now brown cow, which her and Ella would read together. Ella comes back to her family as a butterfly, specifically a monarch butterfly, I believe. So butterflies are just a very big thing for Charity and her family and Miss Ella. Now we're gonna go to the crime. So it's pretty rough. Yeah, deep breath for everybody.
Collective deep breath.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're on February 4th, 2007. The day was pretty normal. Charity had work at a restaurant. I believe she worked at a Buffalo Wild Wings. But this was actually Super Bowl weekend, so it was super busy, super poppin'. But she had work at that restaurant that evening, and she had hired a babysitter that night to watch the kids. At 11:29 p.m., Abilene police got a call. So I'm going to read to you part of this transcript. I'm going to preface, Paris is the one that calls 911.
Okay.
He sounds in the call. You can hear it if you'd like to. I don't think we can put in audio, and quite frankly, I'm not sure how to, so we're not going to do that. I'm just going to read it to you.
It's a more sophisticated
That's podcast. More sophisticated. I'm not smart enough to figure that shit out. But he does sound upset. Like, he sounds like he's crying. He sounds like he's, like, having, like, he's breathing hard and stuff like that. So I'm not necessarily doing this exactly justice because I don't know how to do that. But, yeah, this is Abilene 911. What is your emergency? He says, hello. Abilene 911, go ahead. He says, I accidentally killed somebody. You think you killed somebody? No, I know I did. My sister. Okay, where is your sister now? She's in the bed. Is she breathing? No, I've looked. He's gasping and crying as he says this. I feel so messed up. And then a little bit later, he, after telling the police dispatcher what her name is and everything, how old is Ella? 4. She's 4 years old. How old are you? 13. Is she bleeding anywhere? Yeah, she's bleeding all over the bed because I stabbed her. Okay, what did you stab her with? A knife. Where did you stab her? Lots of places. Again, he's saying this. We'll find out later. He's not upset. He's lying and faking a lot of this, but that is where we're at right now. A little bit later, around midnight, police go to Charity's place of work and they inform her that Ella is hurt. They did not tell her the truth or what happened to her. She said, no, you guys are taking me to her now.
Mm-hmm.
She needs her mom. Like, you're taking me to her. And that is when they told her that she was dead.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a whole separate issue.
Oh, that hurt me.
And then she obviously asks about her son. She's like, how is this possible? Like, is Paris okay? What's going on? And they informed her that her son was in custody. Her son killed her daughter. Paris killed Ella. And then Charity fainted after hearing this.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. If how the fuck else are you going to respond to that?
No, I don't. There's no other response.
Yeah, no. The details of the crime were not found out until much later, but we now know the true horror that took place. For a while, he said that it was that he was hallucinating, that he believed Ella was a demon. That is false. Yeah, we're just going to talk about exactly what happened that night. So Paris had an extremely, or has, he's still alive. He has an extremely high IQ. He's very intelligent. And at the time, especially, you know, his IQ was 142.
Holy shit.
At like 13, the average is around 100.
Yeah.
I believe like Einstein had like 160. Elon Musk is pretty close to that. So like, he's not like genius level.
Yeah.
But that's a fucking smart ass person right there.
That's a smart ass child.
Yes. And he always, like, she said that he was always like challengingly smart. Like, he was very, very smart. And still is. But this night, Paris had somehow convinced the babysitter that she could leave. You know, it was around 10, I believe. And Paris is like, well, Ella's asleep. I'm going to sleep. You don't have to stay. It's fine.
At 13, he was finessing. He was like, you know what? You could just head home, sweetheart. Mm-hmm. That's so weird.
Yep, and he was good at it.
And that's weird for an adult to be like, you know what? Yeah.
I have a lot of questions about the babysitter. We'll talk about it in the discuss, because...
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was writing down babysitter in the discussion part.
Babysitter.
Babysitter.
You want to hear a joke? Just to lighten it a little bit.
I guess. We're not even at the best part yet.
It has nothing to do with it, but here's a mini brain bleach. I used to babysit some kids, and one time I was on the phone with someone, and I said that I was babysitting them. And then one of the little boys that I was babysitting goes, I'm a man, so she's a man-sitter. And I just thought that was funny. So now every time I hear babysitter, I'm like, I'm a man.
The older one or the younger one?
The older one.
Yeah, so thanks for that. Although Mini we are going to take a sharp left.
that was your last warning.
We are going to talk about exactly what he was doing throughout the day. Throughout the day, Paris had been watching violent pornography and Googling snuff films. I said LOL, because you can't find that on Google.
On the surface web?
Google? No, you can't find snuff.
No, you can't do that.
If you don't know what that is, I don't recommend Googling it. You'll get flagged, I'm sure. Essentially, it's just videos of... So, violent porn, there's consent around it.
Yes.
People know that they're being recorded. People are a part of the pornography and the production of it. That doesn't happen in snuff films. You can see people being raped, murdered.
Tortured.
So very bad stuff, especially for a 13-year-old child. Mm-hmm. For hours before everything happened, he was consuming this violent, violent sexual imagery. And it's horrible. At this time, he was mad at the world. He was mad at his mom, and he was mad at Ella. The night before, Ella had told on him about sneaking out to the skate park. Charity made him apologize to the babysitter for sneaking out, and she was also like, why did you spend all your allowance money?
Mm-hmm.
And before, I'm just giving you all reasons why he was fucking angry. I mean, on top of being a 13-year-old boy.
Right.
13-year-old boys can often be just angry. But she had also relapsed before on cocaine, and he was angry with her since then. And that I don't necessarily blame him. I believe he was like 11 or so, so he was kind of left caring for Ella. So he had some pent-up aggression about that, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing excuses this. I'm just setting the scene a little bit.
Yeah.
Paris said that he had always wanted to hurt somebody. He thought about it all the time. He always thought he was going to snap. He said he had thought about hurting a stranger, the babysitter, somebody he knew. He said He said he never, it never stemmed from being Ella, but he later planned his attack on her. He chose to take his anger out on Ella that night. After the babysitter left around 10 p.m., Paris took a knife to Ella's room, the room that she shared with Charity. Paris stabbed her 17 times, most slow and methodical. He later said that it felt like stabbing a marshmallow.
Oh.
Yes. He choked her, he punched her, he hit her. He also sexually assaulted her before stabbing her. Semen was found on her body. Charity wrote, quote, he sexually abused her that night, and he admitted the more violent he became, the more excited he became, ending in death for her and climax for him. Yeah.
I just had a physical reaction to that.
We're going
to
simmer in the silence for a second, because that's a lot. So he then called his friend and chatted for about 6 minutes before he called 911. During the 911 call, you can hear him giving CPR, and he's being guided by the dispatcher. If you don't know when you call 911 and there's someone that is unconscious, and if you don't know how to do CPR, they will walk you through it and they will guide you through it. So this turned out to be false. Ella was not given CPR, and she was face down when the police arrived, and she had none of the injuries she would have had had he given her CPR. When someone gets CPR,
their sternum
and their ribs are crushed.
Yeah.
A lot of the times. There's really no way around it. But she didn't have any of that. So you can hear it. I listened to the call, and you can hear him counting out loud. And, like, he stood at a distance from the phone, counting out loud, pretending to give her CPR. It's incredibly chilling to listen to, because you know it's a lie. He's not doing any of that. He lied about everything. Although he lied about everything, he never said he wasn't guilty. He took full responsibility for it from day one, eventually telling the truth, we think. And he was like, I'm not insane. I'm not mentally ill. I've made my choices. Like, I'm fully sane. He was never, and that's somehow scarier to me.
Oh, yes.
I find that much more terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
After this, see, at this time, he's 13.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to wish harm on a 13-year-old, but fuck this shit right here, okay? Mm-hmm. He, after the murder, whilst in prison, Charity would go and visit him. And he said to her, you used to say that you'd never be able to kill anybody unless they hurt one of your kids. I bet you didn't think that it was going to turn out like this. So what are you going to do now?
Ooh,
he was cold.
That's just an asshole statement.
Yes. He was cold. He was mean. And he taunted her for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
I don't remember if I mentioned this later, but he did this on purpose to hurt Charity.
Yeah.
He said that he made the choice to take both of her kids away.
In because a horrendous way.
Because he knew he was going to be in prison.
Yeah.
So he wanted to take both of her kids away from her. Because he's an asshole. Is what he fucking is.
Also, to be at 13 and think like that.
We'll talk about that later. Oh. But sometimes it's better to be dumb. That's all I have to say. Yeah. Sometimes being stupid is a blessing.
Ignorance is bliss.
For real. His family said in the documentary, The Family I Had, we all knew something was wrong with Paris. He was never real social or affectionate. He would pound his head against the wall until it bled. He'd throw glass around. You know, all of this matters, like, in hindsight, but no one can ever guess what happened, would have happened. Multiple psychologists had assessed him, I'm sure still assess him, and one told Charity to, quote, stop spending so much money on her son, you know, like, in his defense and helping him and shit, and start, he didn't say that part, I said that part,
mm-hmm.
And start spending it on changing your identity and going into hiding for when he's released, because he believes they believe, I don't know who this psychologist was, that he is such a danger to Charity.
Yeah.
And I don't blame him. But yeah, Paris will be eligible for parole in 2027 when he is 33 years old.
Ooh.
Paris is currently still in prison in Ferguson, Texas, and he just turned 27. He said in the documentary, I'm going to get out of here and prove all of you wrong. And I said, I fucking hope so. You know, prove all these people wrong.
Prove all of us wrong on what?
On, because, I mean, everyone believes he's going to kill people again.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say I don't believe he won't kill people again.
Right.
But he's like, no, I'm changed. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to prove all of you wrong. I fucking hope so.
I hope so, but I don't believe you.
I have a lot of feelings. People don't change
like that.
I have a lot of fucking feelings.
We'll save it.
Yeah. In the end, Charity founded the Ella Foundation. Ella, because of Ella, but also empathy, love, lessons, and actions. She is a huge, huge advocate, I guess you could say, for, you know, learning about people and learning how trauma affects people.
Mm-hmm.
And because she is a victim and the mother of the perpetrator, she's in a very difficult position. So she has a very interesting perspective on stuff like this. I said this before, but I do recommend watching the documentary mentioned and reading her memoir. I have a lot of respect for Charity. She's an incredible person, and there's so much to learn from her and her just way of life, in my opinion. Like, the amount of love this woman has, it's crazy. There's a lot of little things that she says about both of her kids in the book. And there's so much home video. I was telling Elena this earlier, like, all the little videos of Ella that I got to see, I was like, ugh. Just warmed my heart, and Charity really carries on the memories, and I think that's a beautiful thing. In 2012, Charity did give birth to her son Phoenix. I'm not going to say too much about him because I don't really know if he wants to be connected. He is in the documentary a little bit and does have somewhat of a relationship with Paris. It's really just like phone calls here and there, and Paris says that he has written him letters and asked his mom to keep them for when he's older and stuff like that. I don't know about that. We have a lot to say, in the discussion. I do recommend going and viewing that and seeing Paris and Ella interact is haunting, but from a psychological standpoint, it's very interesting because you can see him caring for her and loving her. People said he was like the best big brother. People told Charity how lucky she was to have, an older son to care so much about his little sister.
Not even a younger child, a younger female child.
Yeah, like it's just all around, it's fucking horrible. I guess if there's one thing to learn about the case, it's just what love really can do. Because Charity has fully forgiven. I mean, I shouldn't say fully forgiven him. I'm sure her relationship with him is incredibly complicated. And no one will ever understand. And I don't think she really has to justify any of her decisions, I'll say. Because it's not for anyone to talk about. Like, would I do that? I don't know. I hope I never fucking find out how I would respond to my child doing something like that. But she supports him. Her and her family have said it. They want help for him. And I think that takes a huge person.
Oh, yeah.
To want help.
Yeah.
For someone that did something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope they have found peace. That's all I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have anything else to say until the discussion. So, sorry. Sorry, that was a downer.
I have a lot of things for the discussion, but I feel it's just a sad case. It's hard to end it.
Yeah, there's not really a good way to end it. I mean, I think my favorite thing that I read about Miss Ella was her little fat legs and her saying Slexi, specifically. Yeah. And Slexi. She spelled it out. S-L-E-X-Y. Slexi.
Slexi. Oh, that's cute. That's cute.
Do I look Slexi? Mm-hmm. You know what, sweet girl? You look however you want to look.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll end it on that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are over the age of 21.
Yep. In a recreational legal state.
For marijuana?
I guess if you have a medical card, too, fucking hop in, but...
Yeah, but if it's anybody else... Sorry about it.
Getting kicked out.
Yeah.
Woo! You just got rolled.
Wee-wee-wee-wee-wee-wee.
Listen, I'm not a cop. I'm not a cop.
I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I'm going to tell you what not to do.
And it's stay here.
Just
come back for the next one.
Come back when you're 21.
Hope.
Okay, bye.
All right, see ya.
No? how did that turn? Oh, man.
Oh, okay. We're back, guys.
We're back. We were talking about the case. Well, we actually weren't.
We had an eventful intermission.
We did. We just had to, you know, lighten the mood a little bit. Yeah. Super heavy. So then we started talking about how cute Miss Ella was.
Yes.
And Paris was also a really cute kid. Both, I feel like all of her kids look just like her.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean that in a bad way.
Yeah.
I mean that in a way that you literally copy and pasted yourself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, that's what we were talking about. So this case, we all know I'm a psychology person. Love it. We'll always talk about it.
Yeah.
And I believe this is an incredibly fascinating case from, like, that standpoint.
Oh, yes.
About, like, true psychopathy and sociopathy. I don't know if sociopathy is a word. I feel like I always say it, though. Like, psychopathy is a word. Sociopathy, whatever. There is a difference, too.
I think it's psychopathy.
Psychopathy. I mean, but a sociopath is a thing, so that would make sense to me. Sociopathy? I'm just making up words, y'all. I'm just making sure.
You know what it is.
Yeah. Psychopaths and sociopaths. Yeah. Very interesting to talk about them.
The study of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there is a difference. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's, like, clinically, but I feel like they're displayed. Maybe they're all under a branch. I feel like they are. Antisocial.
Yeah. It's that makes sense. That makes sense.
I could. I'm very. No.
It's the same chapter in the DSM-5.
Different bullet points. We are also, like, not professionals in that field. We don't know what we're talking about.
No.
But we're interested
not
by it.
Not yet. Yeah.
One day.
Mm-hmm.
To my knowledge, though, I feel like sociopaths typically, like, have anger and, like, that kind of emotion and will display rage, but psychopaths will, like, mirror people more because they don't feel emotions.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah. And they, like, have no feeling, but they try to.
Yeah. I also think people who are psychopaths might have less of a recognition of the fact they're a psychopath than sociopaths.
That's always interesting to think about. Like, people's awareness for themselves, mm-hmm. like, their own issues. Like, he's like, I am fully sane.
Yeah.
I think he said, if I'm remembering correctly, he goes, I'm fully sane. I don't have a mental illness. I do have problems. I wouldn't have killed my sister if I didn't have problems, or something like that.
Yeah.
That's an interesting thing to say.
Yeah.
You're just thinking over there. How do you feel about that? I feel like you feel conflicted.
I think it's weird because I feel like maybe not every problem or, you know, thing that you have mentally could be classified as an illness. But I think if you have multiple of them, we have so many different illnesses out there that they kind of fall into one.
Yeah.
So it's like, not to say that everyone who kills people are mentally ill, but I do think that you might not skate under the rug. You know what I'm saying? What makes you special?
There's something.
That's what I'm saying.
It takes a certain
the
person.
The awareness is not there if you're a psychopath. You know what I'm saying?
No, that makes sense. That does. Because, like,
for him to be like, I'm not mentally ill, but I did just stab a 4-year-old. Like, that
my
is horrible.
Sister.
My sister. Not any child.
That
my
he
sister.
Displayed love for.
Like, that.
Oh, my God.
For you to turn around and be like, yeah, I'm not mentally ill. Just
I do have problems, though.
Yeah, just
I
to me
issues.
A little bit is like, there's just a little bit of a
there's
lack of awareness.
Yeah, it's so fucking weird. It's weird.
And you're so smart that you would have to know that. Maybe he just didn't want to admit it, but you would have to see that. Like, if your IQ is 140, come on.
Do better. Do better. I don't understand it. I don't understand him. I honest to God, I find him so fucked. Like, Israel Keyes level scary.
Whew.
A different type of horror.
Yeah.
Because it's like, there are other people like him too. It's, oh my God. I've never heard of a case like it, and I hope to God I never hear one like it again.
Mm-hmm.
It's I have no words.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a dream where you had
when you went?
we reference that a lot. I hope you guys know where that's from.
Yeah.
If not, Google it.
Google it.
Google it.
Ooh.
Ooh.
The fact that he tried to Google those types of things, like he was trying to Google. First of all, the fact that those things exist just really, really shake me.
Yeah.
Really shake me.
Real challenging.
And second, just the accessibility.
That for him to even. In 2007.
For him to even know what it was.
Ooh.
Not only is that an adult topic, but it's like how the. You are using a lot of unrestricted internet.
If you know what that is.
Oh my God. 2007, internet is very young.
Yeah.
You know, still. But, God.
I'm trying to find, I found it. She wrote about this, actually, him Googling that. Mm-hmm. And she goes, this is not funny.
No.
Paris searched for snuff films. Then he murdered his little sister. He didn't find any, but what the fuck 13-year-old is Googling for snuff films? What the fuck 13-year-old even knows what a snuff film is?
That's what
I'm
saying.
It's true. I don't think I knew what that was at 13.
No,
I don't think so. Because I'm like thinking that's like 8th grade. No. Ooh, he hadn't even gone into high school.
I don't think I knew what that was either. And I will argue that I had a lot of unrestricted internet access.
Yeah, no,
I saw a lot of things I probably shouldn't have at my age.
Absolutely.
But I did never did it get that far.
No. And I have no idea. Like,
no.
I don't even know. I feel like I might have been, like, older when I found out what that is.
I found out about it as soon as I was, like, I had a phase where I was very into YouTubers, like, exploring the deep web.
Ooh, see, maybe that's why. The deep web scares me.
Because a part of me was like, if they're putting it on YouTube, it's going to be safe. And it kind of was. I mean, they did censor a lot of it. But I was still interested in it. But then, I've never been on the deep web. I don't recommend going on the deep web.
This is not a deep
web
podcast.
This is purely my opinion.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Exactly. So, when I got older and I was, like, researching more of that, and then I figured out that things like that existed, it, like, completely steered me away from it.
Oh, yeah.
For a while.
You know what? SVU.
Oh.
That's where I first learned what that is.
Yeah.
They have a few episodes that talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. No.
Mm-mm.
I don't like.
That's just the worst thing ever. And also, I like how you added that there was a difference between violent pornography and snuff films.
Oh, yeah.
And that difference is consent.
Absolutely.
One of my favorite quotes, I forgot what talk show host said it, but he was like, the difference between, he said sex and boxing are the same way, as in like the difference between is that both parties have to consent.
That's like kind of like a little joke.
I thought it was funny.
A little bit.
I thought it was, I was like, yeah, that makes sense. But that's an easy way for everyone to be like, oh, that makes consent more
to me,
understanding.
I've never had, like, an issue with understanding what consent was.
Some people do.
I know, and that's what I don't get,
yeah.
In a way. Like, I don't want to trigger anyone or talk about this in any regard, really, but I've mm-hmm. never been a part of any sort of sexual assault, so I don't understand what that's like,
right.
Which is why I'm like, how is that not just a thing for you? Like, how do you not mm-hmm. understand? And, like, you can tell when people don't like things. Don't
right.
do it then. The fuck?
That's
what
it.
Are you doing?
That's it.
What are our rules? Don't be a murderer,
mm-hmm.
and don't be an asshole.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Simple.
That's it. It takes more energy to be a bad person.
We'll just go on the list.
We have so many things that we constantly say. Like,
and it's just natural to me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand that. So I don't understand how people don't see that there is a difference
yeah.
between even, like, porn and violent porn.
Yeah.
But they're... No, thank you. No, thank you.
Because there are people who do violent porn for a living, and that's just their job.
And there are people that like violent sex.
And that's okay. As long as everyone's consenting.
Right. Why are we having this conversation?
Right.
And I guess that's why we're having this conversation, because not enough people know that, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Stop doing bad things. Jesus Christ.
Stop it.
Stop it.
And also stop making it accessible.
Stop making snuff films.
It is so... Like, not super, but it is more accessible than people would like to admit. Like...
Oh, yeah, especially now.
Oh, my gosh. There's not only is there just so much content, there's so much content that is surfacing to places like... Like, dude, fucking Reddit. You can see videos of people fucking being killed on Reddit, dude, and it's weird.
It's so weird. The fucking fact that I can Google a child that has passed and one of the first images is their dead body, that alone.
That's fucked up.
It's not like a comparison or anything. Like, it's right. A different level of fucked up, but that should not be allowed. I should not know what the West Memphis Three's boys look like.
Right.
I should not know what JonBenet Ramsey's dead body looks like. That's not for me to know.
No.
That should, and the fact that I can Google it means anyone that can spell can Google it.
Right.
That's a problem.
Big one. Yeah.
I don't like that. This is not how I thought this discussion was going to go, but I don't like that. Now I'm fired up. I don't like that at all. Not one bit.
I just feel like that is such a catalyst for violence is witnessing violence. And especially since he was in such a loving home, mm-hmm. He doesn't have any... And sometimes when people do these types of things, they themselves have been abused or witnessed right. Some type of violence.
Oh, and she was very thoroughly investigated.
Oh, yeah.
Because people thought that he was abused. Yeah. Because who the fuck else does that?
As, to be honest, knowing now, but still, as she should be, as anyone should be if that happens to right. Their children. Because also, how the fuck is he finding out about snuff films?
Yeah, like, that is a question to be asked. But
that's also in hindsight. She was right. She was working a lot. She was a single mom. Yeah, like,
of two.
Right, so I also understand how... And also, he's not going to be open about that type of thing.
Right, and I feel like there is some sort of... You believe what you want to believe.
Yeah.
They are all saying, and I said this in the earlier part, they are all saying that something was wrong.
Yeah.
That, and I'm pretty sure she knew that he had viewed porn before, and we're not saying porn leads people to do things like this. Yeah. That's not even the thing we're saying. But I'm pretty sure she knew about that. But, like, you're not automatically going to go and think. She actually said at one point, she was like, I thought he was going to hurt himself. Mm. Not anyone else, right. Let alone his little sister.
Right.
Like, and she had, I'm pretty sure he's had a history of mental health evaluations and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what makes this different, he's not like every person with mental issues.
No.
He and people like him with these extreme cases of like being a psychopath or a sociopath or whatever you may consider him to have,
mm-hmm.
That's not everybody.
No.
So it's like you can't believe, I don't blame her or her family at all.
No. And even within those groups of people who are psychopath, sociopath, any type of antisocial that falls underneath that, they don't always go out and kill people. So you can suspect that
that something's wrong.
Exactly.
But you never... If your immediate thought, if you're not, like, in the true crime world or whatever, and your immediate thought is, oh, he's going to kill his sister, I feel like there's something else going on.
Oh, yeah.
There's got to be another clue.
Yeah.
Because that's not what you're going to think.
Right.
When you know your kid is watching porn and violent porn.
Right. So, I mean, you might be worried.
Oh, for sure.
That might be something, you know, to...
Let's have a chat about that.
Right. But that you're not going to not leave him alone with his sister or something. No. You know what I'm saying?
With a babysitter.
Exactly. Like, he wasn't even alone. He was with a babysitter.
No, he wasn't. She didn't know that the babysitter left.
Right.
Until after, which is why she was, like, so confused. I mean, as one would be. She's like, how did that happen?
Mm-hmm.
Ella, how is Ella hurt? She's with her big brother. She's with the babysitter.
Yeah.
It breaks my fucking heart every time I think of her. God. I can't even think about... Because I try to dive into the... We put ourselves everywhere, you know, into everyone's shoes, but I can't put myself into Ellis. Because that, like... No.
No.
But a little nice segue, I guess. We can talk about the babysitter. Ooh. I saw some Reddit threads and some interesting opinions. Someone was like, was the grandma the babysitter? Because we don't know who the babysitter was. And that's okay. You know, like, they've remained anonymous. My guess is that it was a 17, 18-year-old kid who was, like, a neighborhood kid.
Yeah.
I know Charity did have a really young sister, too, that was, like, Paris's age. So maybe it was someone her age, something like that. Like,
yeah.
I don't think there's some conspiracy going on.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't want... Can you imagine the guilt they feel?
Ooh.
You don't, that's okay. You stay safe, my love. You stay safe.
Yeah.
But, weird shit, all I gotta say.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a sticky situation.
From all angles.
But also, we're not victim blaming. Mm-mm. But also, like, I feel like I've been a babysitter before. I've said this before. I've been a nanny. Like, my job is to stay here until someone else, like, gets here to relieve me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like he just had to be super, super methodical with it.
He was.
He thought about it for a long time.
Yes.
Because to convince someone who's supposed to watch you for an agreed amount of time to not be there, like, is just... I don't know if there's anything that any of the kids that I've ever babysitted could have said that would make me leave like that. But at the same time, I don't know if any of them also had IQs that were 140.
So I also think he was 13.
Yeah.
I was home alone at 13. I don't have any younger siblings, so mm-hmm. I don't know what that's like. You do.
Mm-hmm.
But at 13...
I would watch them alone at 13, too.
Yeah, like, I feel like... And I don't know what their situation was at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like... That definitely played a part into it. Like, when my brother was 13, I was 8, maybe? Mm-hmm. 7 or 8.
Mm-hmm.
So, if we had a babysitter that, like, wasn't our sister, mm-hmm. it was almost always our older sister.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have a babysitter, but if we did, I feel like I could be convinced, not me, but
mm-hmm.
could be convinced to go home, you know? It's 10 o'clock, I'm going to bed, Ella's asleep. Take the night off, girl. Like, I can see that. But also, if you are hired for a certain amount of time, you should probably stay, you know?
That's all I'm just saying that I made a contract with this parent, an informal contract, that, like if they tell me they're going to be home by, you know, midnight or whatever, that's when I'm supposed to be here till, that's when I've cleared my schedule till, like, so.
Ugh, but that person must feel horrible.
Yeah, and that's why I'm saying he just had to be very methodical about it. I'm not saying you can't.
I feel like he is one of those people that don't come around that often.
Oh,
he is a Ted Bundy type. Mm-hmm. Like, that level super of manipulation.
Smart.
And we're just really good podcasters we are really segueing this shit.
Oh, okay.
Look at me when I plan a discussion.
Perfect.
But... that goes into me feeling very confused about him.
Oh.
Because he appears in these documentaries. I watched a lot of shit, okay? Interviews, documentaries. I know there's a famous one with Piers Morgan. Is that his name? I think it's like Interviewing a Psychopath or something like that.
Yeah,
that's what it's called. I watched a little bit of it. Dude, that's what we were chuckling at earlier. Because he does not look the way that I would think he would look. Mm. Not that that matters, but that's what we were laughing at earlier. Yeah. Maybe don't kill people and we won't laugh at you.
Yeah.
But I'm very confused about him because he appears to have remorse and, like, he says things in a way where he's like, no, I think he was like, oh, I wish my mom and Ella could come visit me. Like, stuff like that. And he's like, I recognize, like, I tore this family apart.
Mm-hmm.
It's really strange. He's like, he shows remorse.
Yeah.
But he's also a liar and will manipulate any situation to make himself appear as a victim, which is, look at the fucking 911 call.
Yeah.
He did that at 13.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know about that. That's scary. That's fucking scary to me. So I don't know what to fucking believe.
I don't know. I mean, obviously I don't know him specifically, but...
Yep. Hope never do.
In the experiences that I've had with people where I realize that they're highly manipulative later, they just have such a way of making it your idea.
Oh, God. They're fucking good at it.
Like, it's so...
Which is what he fucking did to the babysitter, I'm sure.
It's so scary.
Yes.
To think back later on. Because I bet you the babysitter sat... When you deal with someone who's highly manipulative, if you've ever been gaslit to an extreme degree, like, when you look back later on, everything is... You see it. You see it all put together. You see what they were thinking, and it's so weird. Like,
it's like you're under a spell.
Exact. It's...
And they do that on purpose.
And they know exactly, the only way it works is if they know exactly where you're at the whole time. They are so smart. Oh my god,
it's so scary.
The only way that these little mind games work is that they're in control the whole time.
Yep.
As soon as you start to mess it up in any way, it starts to fall apart for them.
This is why I trust nobody.
So they have to, it's just so weird. And I feel like that is how he kind of like sets himself up. Like he said to his mom when he killed her daughter, his sister, in a horrible way, because I'm sure that she knew a lot more. She probably knows more details than anybody else, to be honest.
Or the defense attorney.
Or the, for real. And just for him to be like, you said that you would only kill someone if they hurt your kids. And like, I bet you'd like.
Do you want me to find the quote?
Yeah.
Okay. I got you.
Because I remember how I felt about it, but I can't remember the exact words.
You used to say you'd never be able to kill anybody unless they hurt one of your kids. I bet you didn't think it was gonna turn out like this. So what are you gonna do now?
Yeah.
Fuck right off, no, asshole.
That is super fucked up.
That's a fucked up thing to say, let alone a son to his mother.
Just the fact that he would bring up something like, because that's something that parents say.
Dude.
That's my parents have said that.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, my God.
My dad has said that to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know exactly. And
my dad's a dad of three girls. Your dad is a dad of
three girls
as well. Yeah, he has a boy. And just the way that parents are protective over their kids, neither of us are parents, so we don't know this, but.
Yeah. We've experienced it.
Exactly.
Because we are children.
My dad has always been like, if any one of you tells me that someone's hurting you, he's like, they're fucking done. Like, that's just how it is.
Yep.
So just for him to turn around and be like, yeah, someone did do that, and it's me. That's so fucked.
He fucking taunted her.
That's so fucked.
And she, dude, read her fucking book. I'm telling you, because you can see, it is so.
I want to now.
It's so painful to read, because it's through the years, too. Mm-hmm. She's like, one of the first things, it's like, my Ella's been gone for 5 days.
Yeah.
It's like, from the start, you see her go through these emotions, and you hear, because do you know, I just got goosey bumps. I never get goosey bumps, but thinking of the position she was put in, I just can't even comprehend it. People can't she couldn't.
No.
Until she had to.
Right.
Like, her young daughter, and she was a single mom, and a young mom, and her kids literally, her Paris saved her life.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, yeah, and then he destroyed it.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
That is so.
Fuck. I can't handle it.
That's
she
so
was put into a position where her child was murdered.
Mm-hmm.
Trauma.
Yep.
Just trauma. After experiencing her dad dying earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And going through cycles of drug abuse. Just trauma.
Yeah.
All around. Her daughter was murdered. Then you find out by your son. Trauma.
That's why she fainted.
That's what, how else do you process that? You don't.
Mm-hmm.
And then in this book, you just see her go through everything, every single emotion you can. And she is such a good writer. I'm guessing that's why they co-wrote.
Yeah.
Because it's very, like, if you read my fucking journal.
Well described.
It would not sound like this.
Oh.
But it's okay. But it's very, very heavy. She's like, I hate my son, but he's still my son.
Mm-hmm.
And, no.
Oh.
I can't imagine the mm-hmm. internal conflict she had.
Yeah.
Still has.
Well, one of the first things you told me earlier when we were talking about this case was, like, love and unconditional love.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Then we had a whole conversation my love is conditional. Okay? I'll say it.
My love has conditions.
It sure does. It sure does. But her love clearly does not.
No.
And that's fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of scary.
That's
powerful.
That's a really strong love to have for someone.
And that's
and especially someone who saves your life like that. I could see her being like, yeah, he saved my life, but I still don't like him. Like, I still don't like what he did. I can still be mad, you know.
For sure. And I feel that's like
so hard.
This is one of those cases where I'm also like, can we all just leave her alone? Like, here, I mean, here we are talking about it. I hope we're being respectful to her. I mean, that's our goal. Mm-hmm. But like, people, stop being mean to her. Like, I in the beginning, I understand the investigation. That can understand. And I can. She says, like, she in the book, she's like, I'm grieving the loss of my daughter, mm-hmm. the loss of my son, mm-hmm. and now I'm being investigated for child abuse.
Yeah.
And I'm like, goddamn.
All she did was go to work.
All she did. I just wasn't shut down.
There.
All she did was go to work, for real. All she did was try to provide for her family. I don't even remember what I was saying. That's just a lot. This is a lot happening right now.
There's so many emotions.
Anyway, I don't remember what I was saying. I got sidetracked. It's too much. Do I have any other notes? Let me look.
Thought train derailed
because she was trying to go to work. You saw me. I just shut down.
Yeah.
I really did. I closed my eyes.
Closed eyes, hand and face.
Because I couldn't. I just shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that's that. I have so many feelings about this. Just read the book, watch the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I remember. Everybody leave her alone.
Yes.
Everybody leave her the fuck alone.
Mm-hmm.
Let her heal.
Mm-hmm.
And now she has her other son. Let them be.
Although, he's like 10 now.
Mm-hmm. I do. Oh, we did not even talk about the fact that he's eligible for parole in 5 years. And if he is a fucking psychopath, I'm sure he's a great prisoner.
Oh, yeah.
So, 33 years old, very young. Oh.
Has he ever been diagnosed? Do you know if he ever got diagnosed as a psychopath? He was very young, and a lot of people are hesitant in diagnosing children with things like that.
Never really looked into it. I know he was evaluated for the court
mm-hmm.
at 13, and mm-hmm. I'm sure, and I hope they evaluate him before he leaves.
Oh, yeah.
But it's also, like, I'm a firm believer. I love therapy. I think therapy's amazing, and, like, therapeutic methods of all kind, like assessments and shit like that, but it's only going to work if the person wants it to.
That's true.
He is, and he clearly is an incredible manipulator. Just because I think about this a lot because I do want to be a psychologist. I mm-hmm. do want to be able to assess and evaluate people. But we can still be manipulated.
Oh, yeah.
People, you can see it all the time. And that one psychologist that was like, no, you need to go into hiding. Mm-hmm. You need to change your identity. You need to change your child, Phoenix, his identity.
Yeah.
Because your son wants to kill you. I mean, that was in the beginning when he hadn't appeared to be remorseful mm-hmm. and to have changed.
Yeah.
This is a complicated situation.
It's a
for
lot.
Sure. But even if he doesn't get parole, mm-hmm. he's out in 40 years. It's 2047. Yeah. He would be 50.
That's still
a lifetime.
Yeah.
To be had. Oh, that's stressful.
Oh, no.
Well. That's a lot to think about.
That's
scary.
That's, yeah, there's that.
So Paris, if you ever hear this, how you doing? You know.
Yeah.
Hope you learned your lesson, I guess.
I guess, and maybe, you know what? We said it earlier. I hope you fucking do prove us
yes,
wrong.
Yes, please prove us wrong. I hope.
Then you'd be living proof that people could be rehabilitated. And if there's any silver lining, that could be one. The justice system has almost no examples of that. So
yeah,
maybe if they
be
had...
a different kind of statistic.
Maybe if they had one.
Then they'd have one.
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting. I'm also low-key surprised he has not passed in prison. Just based on the crime that he committed. We've talked about before, the prison hierarchy.
I think this one might be different. Because he was also a kid.
He's a minor. Yeah, and I mean, he was just recently moved to, like, an adult prison. Because you can be in juvenile prison up until you're 21,
mm.
I believe.
Yeah.
So, what is that? 20? Well, if he's 27, that's 6 years ago. So he's only been in adult prison for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
If that's how it worked. I don't really know. But,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe it's different nowadays, but they killed Dahmer real fast.
You said that real slowly. Maybe it's different nowadays, but they do. No, I'm a real fan.
Guys, when I make accents, I don't ever try to do it to, like, well, I shouldn't say that. I don't always try to do it to make fun of people. Mm-hmm. It just happens.
Yeah.
Me and Kendra have now, because we watched Dahmer, mm-hmm. have now taken on the Wisconsin accent.
Oh, yeah.
We are always saying, we're going to go party hardy.
Party hardy.
Eat some brewskis.
Yeah, it's
funny.
Dacos.
Oh. Yeah, anyway.
That's such a good show. That was a good show. I haven't finished it, but go watch it.
Yeah, I know it's controversial. I don't know. I think people are mad about it.
Why? Well, Netflix is under heat for it, but
yeah, this is not
that
right now. Maybe one day. If you guys ever want us to cover Topper, let us know. Oh,
we're never covering Ted Bundy though.
No, Ted Bundy. Sorry,
we've already agreed upon
Gacy. I don't think I would, just because there's so many people, and we all know the story.
Yeah, there's a lot more stories that deserve to be told besides.
Yeah.
Besides Mr. Bundy, so. I also just don't like him overall.
It's oversaturated, is what it is.
Yeah, and I think it's because he also kind of...
And he's annoying.
Kind of freaks me out in a couple levels, but...
Oh. Ooh, he's fucked, though.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we'll do a little mini spooky sesh just on how fucked up he truly is and how the media gets it very wrong.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Because I am interested in stuff like that.
Yep.
About... But again, to bring it full circle, let's stop being able to Google pictures of dead bodies.
Yeah.
That's too much representation in the media, you know? Mm-hmm.
Way too much.
We are in a burning flame of a world.
Uh-huh.
Welcome to the Smoking Gun Podcast. Uh-huh.
Floating rock.
Burning rock.
Floating burning rock.
I feel like that. Oh, Burning Man is what I was thinking.
Burning Man.
That sounds like a music festival. Scary.
Yeah.
Anyway, I have nothing else to say. This case has mentally drained me, so.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Catch you next week.
See y'all later.
See y'all later. Go drink your water.
Please.
Just go to bed.
Yeah.
Please. Just stop. Mm-hmm. You know? That's it. Love you.
And that's the pod.
And that's fun. It's just wings.
Yeah. And that's Jess.
And that's Jess.
There you go.
Catch it, Aita.
See y'all later. Love you. Say back.
Oh, all of our contact information's in the bottom. Yeah. You go find it. Leave us the ratings and the follows and the likes and I don't know what that was. Yeah,
or the
bye.
See ya. Okay, love you. Say back. Okay, bye.